Thank you so much for joining us online today at Christ Covenant Church. We hope you sense God's presence and are encouraged by the message. Now, here's Pastor Ryan Weems.
Well, we're in the last week of a series that we've been calling Exponential. And I got to tell you, like, I think we saved the best for last, y'all. And I know what you're thinking, like, you say that every single week, Pastor. Like, you're always excited about your messages. But I'm telling you, like, my messages, they're like my kids. And how many of y'all know, if you have kids, like, every kid should be your favorite, right? And so every message is my favorite. And I'm just believing that God's got something special for us today. So if you got a copy of God's word with you, I want you to turn with me to Luke chapter 12. Now, maybe you're thinking as well, like, hey, we were there last week, but we're going to continue on right where we left off in Luke's gospel account. So Luke chapter 12, we finished in verse 21 last week. We're going to start off in verse 22 this week. Luke chapter 12, starting in verse 22. And I hope and pray that you lean into the message. Here's what it says. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body is more than clothes. Consider the ravens." Somebody say that with me. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Verse 25, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? If you're taking notes, I'm calling this message, Consider the Ravens. Consider the Ravens. Let's pray. Lord, I've got great expectation in my heart as we end this series, Exponential. And God, I believe that you've got something special up your giant sleeve for us today. And God, you want to do a great work. And so, Holy Spirit, I pray that we would work together right now, tag team style, to communicate your holy word. And that as we work together, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would do what only you can do and that you would change us. That we wouldn't just read the text, but the text would read us. That this would not just be another Sunday in November in the year 2019, but God, this would be a special moment where we are marked by your Holy Word. I pray, God, that you would move mightily. I pray, God, that you would use this text to speak to us something that would change the entirety of our life. God, I really believe this, that this message is for many of us. Worry is a big problem in our culture today, and we're so thankful that Jesus, you spoke to the very thing that many of us are still struggling with thousands of years later. We thank you for your timeless word, and I pray, God, that you would speak clearly. I pray, God, that every one of us would allow you to come in and change us from the inside out. And we ask all of this, and we pray all this in the mighty name of Jesus. And if you believe it, can you say amen? Amen. You know, I'm curious, like honestly, I'm curious, if you can play along if you like, but I'm curious, how many of you here today would say that you love surprises? Would you lift up a hand like you love surprises? Okay, I thought a good amount. You can put your hand down. Now, those of you that raised your hand just a moment ago, like I love saying I love surprises, I want you to know that I love you. Like I love you, I really, really do, but I don't understand you, okay? Like I hate surprises. I exaggerate a lot, but I am not exaggerating on this one. I can tell you, like, I know that's strong language, friend, but it's because I hate surprises. Like, I hate surprises. In fact, anybody with me, like, you would raise your hand and say you hate surprises. Well, I'm curious. I got a few, the faithful few in the room. All right, you can put your hands down. I got some friends here today. Like I just hate. Did I say hate? I hate surprises. In fact, anytime that somebody comes up to me and they're asking about a holiday coming up or a celebration or, God forbid, my birthday that's around the corner, like, I hate that question because I believe there's a scheme behind it. Like, why would you want to know when my birthday is? Like, why would you want to know about that celebration coming up? In fact, if you've ever asked me that question, usually I answer your question with another question. Why do you ask? Like, what's your motive here? What's going on? And it offends people. They're like, chill out, bro. What's going on here? Like, I was just trying to be nice. But I just hate surprises. And recently we had a friend of ours here in the church, and they knew that my family and I, our 2-year anniversary was coming up for like us moving here to Houston. And so they were asking, and they weren't asking me directly. I heard from someone else. They were asking, hey, when is that date coming up? And I asked that person that brought it to my attention, like, why did they ask? What's going on? What are they planning? Have they talked to my wife? Let them know. I do not like surprises. Like, I've got a problem, y'all. And some of you are thinking, we know you have a problem. Appreciate y'all's ministry on that. But I've got some issues. I hate surprises. And again, my family, my wife can attest to this. In fact, going back to the very beginning of our marriage, I made her promise that she would never throw me a surprise party. Literally, we had that conversation. I said, babe, if you ever throw me a surprise party, I will play nice at the party, but afterwards we're gonna have some words, okay? Because I do not want a surprise party. In fact, I use stronger language than that, friend. I said, if you ever betray me and throw me a party. Now, how ironic is that sentence? If you ever betray me and throw a party, like, we're gonna have some issues. And there's a lot of reasons why I hate surprises. It's a lot of them, but one of the big ones is this, and if you know me, you know what's coming, but I hate things that are out of my control. I hate losing control. In fact, you may like some surprises, but the truth is, a lot of us, we hate losing control. It's like, Jesus, take the wheel, but I'm gonna keep my hands on there just in case. Like, that's the kind of life that a lot of us, we live. We don't like losing control. But here's the problem, especially for those of you in the room, and there's several of you that are like me. God, on the other hand, he loves surprises, like loves them. And not just that, God wants control of our lives. And so those of us here listening today that hate losing control, anytime you walk with Jesus, he desires to be in control of our lives. And he loves to surprise us. In fact, those of us that have been walking with Jesus for a long time, we know that not only does Jesus like to meet our expectations, he loves to exceed our expectations. He loves to bless us beyond measure. In fact, I don't know if you knew this, but God actually invented gift wrapping paper. Like, did you know that, friend? Like, what are you talking about? Get creative with me for a moment. I think that's what pregnancy is. It's gift wrapping paper. It's 9 months there being a present there that you have not yet received. And you see the changes and you see the glow and all that kind of stuff, but you gotta wait. Like my wife, many of y'all know, she's 16 weeks pregnant. And my family and I, like, we are waiting for that gift. Like we're talking to the baby and we're guessing like what do you think the gift's gonna be? Is it gonna be a boy? Is it gonna be a girl? Like what's going on? Like, we're touching her stomach, which, by the way, if you don't know my wife, please don't touch her stomach, okay? Like, only for people that know her really well. Like we're like, what's going on? Like what is this gift? We've gotta wait. Like, it's a gift wrapping paper. In fact, do y'all remember, like, as a kid, seeing your presents underneath the tree and it being so hard to wait on that gift? Like, some of y'all were like me, and you would take that present and you would shake it. You'd listen to it. Some of you would move the wrapping paper just a little bit to see the gift there. In fact, my wife, she confessed to me, friends. She confessed to me right after we got married that sometimes growing up, she would, when her family wasn't looking, she would completely unwrap her gift, see what it was, and then wrap it back up together. Y'all thought I had issues, okay? And so it's a gift that you gotta wait for. Many of us, we hate waiting. We hate the surprises in life. But again, God loves to surprise us. God loves to do more than we can think or imagine. But it requires something. And this is what we're talking about today. It requires trust. It requires us relinquishing our control. And getting back to the text, I love Jesus, and hopefully you do as well, because he is so spot on. He addresses this trust issue, this control issue with his close friends, his disciples. And today I don't got something fancy for you. I just got something practical for you. I hope that's okay. And I've got a couple of things I wrote down. I put pen to paper, I typed a key on a keyboard, okay? Let's be honest, in a Word document. And I wrote down a couple of things, and I hope you'll write them down as well, because Jesus is so practical, so helpful for those like myself who have control issues and trust issues. Here's the first thing I wrote down. The next time you're tempted to worry, and it's a temptation, the next time you're tempted to worry, worship instead. Hope you'll write that down. Like Jesus, man, he reads our mail. The next time you're tempted to worry, to not trust, to take over control, worship instead. Read the first two verses again quickly. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat, or about your body, what you will wear, like the day-to-day things. For life is more than that. Consider the ravens. Consider the ravens. I want this to get deep down in your soul, okay? So lean in. Worship is actually the antidote to your worry. Worship, that's a word for somebody. Worship is the antidote to the worry that you're facing. You see, worry focuses on us. It focuses on our problems, but worship focuses on our promises. It focuses on God. Worry magnifies us and what we can handle, control, but worship magnifies God and relinquishes control. Friend, let's just be real before God. We've got trust issues. We've got control issues. We've got waiting issues. And Jesus speaks into the very thing that most of us struggle with. You know, I've heard it said this way before about worry. It's the best definition I've ever come across. Worry is us rehearsing the problem without a solution. Worry is us rehearsing the problem without a solution. And for many of us, again, if we could just be real, many of us, we are professional worriers. Like we're good at worrying. We are really good at it. We worry about our health. What if the report's not good? What if the doctor says, I've got to do some things a little bit different than my lifestyle has been? We worry about relationships. Like what if she leaves or what if he stays, you know? Like, we just got issues. We worry about our president. We worry about the election. We worry about our grades. Anybody stressed out yet? We worry about our jobs, our kids, our money, our debt. When things are going good, I'm worried they're about to get bad. When things are going bad, I'm worried they'll ever be good again. Can anybody relate to what I'm talking about? Like, we are professional worriers. We worry about so much. It's gotten so bad for some of us that we worry about how much we worry. Like, man, I shouldn't be thinking about that. Oh, it's gonna hurt my health. Like, just worried about how much we are worried. Now, for me and maybe some others, a lot of my worry comes at night. I don't know if you can relate to that. I think some can, but that's how it is for me. I worry about that conversation that's going to happen tomorrow. I worry about that meeting. I worry about that appointment. I'm worried about how I'm going to respond to that email. Like, I'm worried about what's coming the next day. And instead of sleeping, I'm worried about tomorrow. Like, have you ever been lying in bed before at night trying to sleep, but instead you've got a situation or a scenario running through your mind that's coming the next day? And that person that you're going to have some conflict with, or maybe you're going to have to address some tough things with a member of your family, and you're thinking about it, and like you're rehearsing it, like you're playing it out almost like a scene in a play in your mind. I don't know if it happens with your life, but it happens with me. And I'll be thinking, well, they're going to say this, like they haven't said anything. They're going to say this, but you know what? I'm going to say that. And they're going to be passive aggressive, but then I'm just going to be aggressive with it. And they're going to bring up this little cut, and I'm going to say this, and they're going to go here, and then I'm going to quote the Bible, and I mean, I'm just going to get them. And I'm rehearsing this scene, and I'm going back and forth. I don't know if you can relate to this. Maybe I'm preaching to myself, but I'm thinking about what's going to happen tomorrow. Like, have you ever rehearsed something at night that was stressing you out? And you were like way more hardcore in your mind than you would ever be in person. Like, anybody relate to that? Like, man, they're going to say this, and it's going to just toss up that softball for me, and I'm going to go bam and knock it out. And they're going to say this, but then I'm going to get them there, and I'm going to drop the mic. I'm like, there's no mic. I don't know what's going on. Like, just rehearsing this, worried about this, is back and forth. Like, it's just crazy, friend, because we worry about stuff that doesn't even end up happening. We're stressed about things, have stressful dreams about things, scenarios that will never happen. We are professional worriers. Worrying is a big problem, and it's such a big problem because it shows a lack of faith in God. It's a big problem. Jesus tells us to not worry. And so when we all worry, we are literally disobeying what Jesus has asked us not to do. Do not worry, and we worry, we are disobeying God. It is a big problem. It shows a lack of faith in our God. So hear me loud and clear today. Worry only produces fear and anxiety, but worship produces awe and faith. So I want to challenge your worry today. Like, I want to come against your worry in Jesus' name, because the next time you start to worry about your kids, I challenge you. I double dog dare you with a cherry on top, y'all. Like, I challenge you to start to worship God instead. The next time you're worried about your paycheck and your career and your job and your family, and we all know Thanksgiving and Christmas is coming up and we got to hang out with that weird uncle again that we can't stand. The next time you start to worry, I challenge you to worship instead. The next time that you're focused on you, I challenge you to focus on God. Worship is the antidote to our worry. I got to tell you something, friend. You don't really have a worrying problem. You have a worshiping problem. And that's the issue, that you're focused on you. I'm focused on me and what I can figure out. I want to be in control. I want to be the captain of my life. I want to be the CEO of my life. And we're focused on us. Instead, we should focus on Jesus. In fact, I want you to realize something that maybe you've never realized before. It is actually impossible to worry while you worship. It's impossible. Don't believe me? Try it later. Be worried about what you've been worried about for weeks, and then turn on some music and lift your hands and lift your voice to Jesus. I'm telling you, that worry will automatically fade away. Why? Because you're not looking at the problem. You're looking at the problem solver in your life. And some of y'all need to raise your level of worship. It's not a worry problem. It's a worship problem. Problem. Friend, hear me. Hear the Lord. Worry hurts your life, but worship brings joy and freedom. Why? Because your hands are off the wheel, and your hands instead can be lifted to the Lord, who can take way better care of you than you ever could take care of yourself. It's not a worry problem. It's a worship problem. You need to worship the God who takes care of even the birds and will definitely take care of you and me. It's not a worry problem. It's a worship problem. And getting back to the text, I love the simplicity and the practicality of Jesus. What does he say? He says to consider. In fact, if I was you and I was in a Bible app or old school ink on paper, I would underline that word. I would circle that word. I would highlight that word. And not just that word, but the whole phrase. He tells us to consider the ravens. Consider the ravens. And if you look at the original Greek language, it speaks of fixing our eyes and mind on something. So what's Jesus saying? He's saying this, that you've been fixing your eyes and your mind on the problem long enough, it's time to move your focus, move your attention to the goodness of God. To take your eyes off of yourself and move it to something that reminds you of the goodness of God. To look to nature, to look at the blessing in your life, to take it off of you and to focus on Him. Consider the ravens. Now, some of you may know this, but the raven was an interesting choice for Jesus. If you go to Old Testament law, we're underneath the New Covenant now, but if you go to the Old Testament law, the raven was actually considered unclean. And not just that, and not much has changed with what I'm about to say, but at the time then and at the time still today, the raven was considered kind of the lowest of the low. Like, I don't know anybody, you don't know anybody that has a pet raven, okay? Like it's the lowest of the low. I don't hear anybody bragging about eating raven one night at dinner, okay? So it was low back then, it's low today. And again, the genius of Jesus to use something to explain the goodness of God that was considered unclean in the Old Testament, but not just that, something that had very low value. What's he saying? That if Jesus will take care of that thing, he will take care of you because you are made in his image. So if he'll take care of a bird that nobody cares about but him, he will take care of you, a person who was made and designed and crafted in the image of God. Like, are you catching what Jesus is saying today? If you'll take care of the little thing that doesn't matter to anybody but God, he'll take care of you and me. He'll take care of the day-to-day life. The next time you're tempted to worry, and guess what? It's going to happen before you get in your car after the message today. The next time you look at your bank account and you wish there was a lot more there. The next time that you look at the debt you have in your life and you're like, I don't know how I'm going to do this. The next time you're tempted to worry, worship instead. I double dog dare you with a cherry on top. Number two, it's got a couple of things I wrote down. Here's the second one. When you worry about tomorrow, it wrecks today. This is Jesus. When you worry about tomorrow, it wrecks today, the last two verses we read. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Again, Jesus is a genius. I love it. So practical. Jesus takes what he's teaching us here and he puts like handles on it, like handlebars, so we can grab a hold of it, so we can apply it to your life. Jesus is sitting down with his friends. Hear me, friend. He's sitting down with his buddies, his disciples, his boys. And he's like, guys, worrying doesn't do you any good at all. There is zero benefit. And since it doesn't do you any good, let it go. Let it go. You see, the only way to get rid of everyday worry is to let go of the thing you're worrying about. To relinquish control, and that's where you find freedom. Because the truth is, hear me, lean in. The truth is, worry doesn't change anything except your blood pressure. Worry doesn't change anything except your heart rate. I'm hoping and praying, because this message is for you. I'm hoping and praying you're leaning in. It's practical. It's not fancy. It's practical. Jesus gives us some stuff to hold on to apply to our lives. You want something fancy, you're at the wrong place. When Jesus says something, I'm going to listen and I'm going to apply it to my life. He's trying to help you out, friend. But you can sit back and say, I want to go deep. You know what deep is? Doing what Jesus tells us to do. That's deep. We got worry problems. We got control issues, trust issues. Worry doesn't change anything but our health for the negative. It's been proven by scientific research that people who worry get sick more often, can't fight off disease as effectively, make worse grades in school, contract diseases more easily in their heart and digestive organs, and can experience problems with their eyesight. For some of you, the problems you're having with your health, they are not diet related. And if we were all honest, some of us, that is an issue. Like, we got holidays coming up and we got to wear our stretchy pants, okay? Like, let's just be honest. But for some of us, this is a word for somebody. I just believe this. Not in my notes. This is a freebie. No cover charge at the door, okay? Like, this is free. Some of you are having sleep problems. It's not a medication problem, some of you. It's not a health problem, maybe physically, or an eating habit problem or a workout problem. Like, it's a spiritual problem because you are worrying. You're focused on the problems instead of the problem solver in your life. That's just a word for somebody. Again, it was free. I hope you receive it if that's for you. It doesn't affect anything but our health for the negative. It's been proven. So think about it like this, church. Why do we worry when it doesn't add any value? Why do we worry? Because it actually shortens our life. I'll tell you why. Again, the whole message, I had 2 points, but really there's 1 point. It's about trust. It's about control. It's hard to trust someone than ourselves. But can we just call it like it is today? God is more trustworthy than you. Can I be real honest? He's more trustworthy than me. He takes way better care of me than I could ever take care of myself. People are going to let you down. You're going to let down yourself. I'm going to let you down. But God will never let us down. We constantly fail, but he never fails. So some of us today, again, it's real practical. Before we drive off in our car, we just need to take a deep breath in. And we need to say out loud, like out loud, not in our mind, like out loud, God, I give you control. Some of you need to do that today. Maybe you do it after lunch later on and you just get in your room, just you and God. And maybe you even need to physically gesture to the Lord that, God, I'm letting go, And you lift your hands up to God and you worship him. It is impossible to worry when we worship. My prayer for us is that we would be a church that puts God first and then we trust him with the rest. That we would be the kind of people that aren't worried about tomorrow because we're trusting God today. Holy Spirit's speaking to some of y'all so powerfully. I sense it. You see, as we take this series full circle, last week, like I said at the top, we studied the passage before this one and we talked about being rich towards God. To invest our money and our time, to invest all that we are towards what God cares about and what God wants to build, and God cares about people and God wants to build his kingdom. And that's happening. And this week we continued in Luke chapter 12 and we're talking about trust. We're talking about relinquishing control, following Jesus, not worrying, worshiping instead, focusing on how good God is, that he's a good father. And as we get ready to close, I want to read you the end of this passage. In fact, can I just encourage you not to turn there right now? I want you just to let it soak in. But I want to read to you the end of this passage because I think Jesus ends on a powerful encouragement for you and myself. And I'm going to read it out of the Message paraphrase. It's a paraphrase. But here's what Jesus says, because he talks about being rich towards God. He talks about consider the ravens, and he even uses a couple of more analogies if you continue to read on. But then at the very end, starting in verse 29, here's how he ends this, and here's how we'll end the series. This is Jesus talking to you, not someone else, to you. What I'm trying to do here, Jesus says, is to get you to relax. So would you do that today? Like, just relax. Big breath in. Not be so preoccupied with getting so you can respond to God's giving. Friend, he's been so good to you. He's been so good to you. People who don't know God and the way he works, they fuss over these things. What's Jesus saying? People that don't know the Lord, they whine about, well, how could a church take up an offering? And how could they do this? And why would they do that? And why does God say he wants 10%? Like, that's people who don't know God. But for you, Jesus is talking to you. You both know God and how he works. What we talked about in this series, money, our talent, everything, our stuff, it's just a tool that we can use to build God's kingdom. That's all it is. So Jesus is looking at you, friend, and he says this: steep yourself in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. Let this soak over your soul. You'll find that as you do that, all your everyday human concerns, they're going to be met. Don't be afraid of missing out. You're my dearest friends. Picture Jesus leaning in towards you today. The Father wants to give you the very kingdom itself. He goes on and he says in the paraphrase, be generous, give to the poor. I love this. Get yourselves a bank that can't go bankrupt. A bank in heaven, far from bank robbers, safe from embezzlers. A bank you can bank on. It's obvious, isn't it? The place where your treasure is the place you will most want to be and end up being. I want you to close your eyes with me all across the house. For the many watching and listening online, close your eyes with me if you're able to. Please, no one packing up right now. That's a distraction. You have plenty of time to do that when we close from the service here in a moment. Your eyes are just closed. Head bowed. Jesus, I pray that right now, with all the issues and all the stresses of life, all the anxiety we came in with, I pray, God, that we would focus our attention, our mind, off of that and onto you. I pray even now, Lord, that as we lift our eyes up to you, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that all that worry, all that stress, all that anxiety would melt away. I know we have problems. Many of us are struggling with debt. Every time that bill comes around, there's stress, there's fear. I know that's the reality for many of us. But God, I pray that we would lift our eyes up to you, the one who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, the one who takes care of the lowest of the low, the one who will meet our daily needs. It's daily. I pray, God, for those of us underneath the sound of my voice that we've been trusting in ourselves, been trying to control everything in our relationship with you. I pray right now, deep breath in, and we would let go. That we would let go of the reins of our life. Our relationship with you will never work if we're trying to lead. We are not the captain of our own ship. We are not the CEO of our life. When we choose to bow our knee to you, God, you become the captain. You become the CEO. You call the shots and we follow. You lead and we follow. You have control and we relinquish control. Just feel this in my heart, friend. Keep your eyes closed. Some of you are so struggling, maybe not publicly, but privately. You are so struggling with your relationship with Jesus. You've been trying to walk with him for years, maybe even decades, but you are struggling. And the reason why is that you have gently, or maybe even not gently, but fervently, passionately pushed God to the side and are asking him to follow you. And you're worried and you're stressed. Your relationship with Jesus has lost that luster. And the reason why is because you are trying to be in charge. You would never say audibly, you would never confess out loud that you're calling the shots. But when you look at your life right now, as the Holy Spirit's convicting you right now, that's the reality. The best definition, friend, of Christianity is someone following Jesus. Someone walking in obedience and surrender to Jesus. So maybe the practical takeaway for you is in your heart and mind right now, you just ask the Lord to forgive you. Like, I'm sorry, God, that I've pushed you to the passenger seat and I'm in the driver's seat. I'm sorry that I've been so consumed with what I can control and what I can handle and what I can figure out, and I just let it go. And I humbly park this car. I get out of the driver's seat and I get in the back seat. I humbly bow before you and ask you to take control. It's not a worry problem, it's a worship problem. And when we worry, it wrecks today. With every eye closed, every head bowed, as the Holy Spirit's ministering to you, thank you, Holy Spirit, for doing what only you can do. Speaking of trust and speaking about control, I want to give those of you that have never surrendered your life to Jesus, that have never fully put your trust in him and him alone, I want to give you an opportunity to do just that. Or maybe for you, it was a while ago and you said a prayer and maybe even did a class, I don't know. But you haven't been walking with Jesus. You haven't been living your life dedicated to him. You've been calling the shots, but today you want to put your trust, your full faith in him. You want to follow Jesus. That's what Christianity is. You want to surrender your life to him. Jesus, you be the captain. You be the CEO. You take charge. So if you're here today, you can respond online as well, but you're here today and you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, or maybe you want to make a fresh commitment to him, I want to lead you in a prayer. But before I do, I want to know who I'm praying for. So if that's you, man, that's me. I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to put my trust in him fully. If that's you, would you raise your hand so I could see it? Thank you. Keep it up for a moment. Thank you. God, we put our trust in you. You can put it down. Keep those eyes closed. Those that raise your hand in this room and watching, listening online, you're like, yeah, that's me too. Here in just a moment, I'm going to have you repeat that prayer after me. It's a prayer of confession, a prayer of trust, a prayer where you say out loud, not ashamed, out loud, that Jesus, I surrender to you. That's the prayer. Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, I put my trust in you. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart, that you can know that you know that you know that you'll be saved. So the many hands that were raised a moment ago, and also all the Jesus followers as support, would you say this out loud? Not to a pastor or not just even to the air in the room. Like, you would say it out loud to Jesus because he's looking at you today. He loves you. Would you say this after me out loud? Jesus, I put my trust and my faith and my belief in you and you alone. Jesus, I let go. I relinquish full control of my life to you. Jesus, I bow my knee. I surrender all. Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross, that you rose from the grave. And so I ask you to forgive me of every sin. Jesus, I make you the Lord of my life, the captain of my life, the CEO of my life. Jesus, I will, come on, say this again. I will follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen and amen and amen and amen. Come on, friend, join with me. God, we give you glory. We give you glory for what you've done. Come on, a little bit more than that. I dare you to worship God. I dare you to celebrate. I dare you to give God glory for what he's doing in this house. God, we love you so much. All the glory and all the honor belongs to you.
Thank you so much for listening today. If you made a decision for Jesus Christ, or if your life has been impacted in any way, please send us an email at info@christcov.net. We would love to hear your story. And for those that committed your life to Christ, we want to help you on your new journey by sending our free Start Bible Kit in the mail. If you'd like to partner with us financially, simply click on the Give tab at christcov.net. There it will take you to a safe and secure page where you can set up a one-time or recurring gift to help us accomplish our vision, heaven full and hell empty. And as always, you can find out more about Christ Covenant on our website or on Facebook or Instagram at Christ Cove Houston.